Hello, and thank you for joining me today. If you want to, grab your Bibles and sit in for a really good message. God's laid it on my heart recently to pray for the nation. With everything that's been going on in the Supreme Court and Congress and the laws going down and things going on in our nation, it's just been impressed to me more so the responsibility that I as a Christian, we as the body of Christ, and we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ have to pray for our nation. Now let me ask you, what is the number one purpose of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to get people saved. It is to pull people out of the grips of hell. Mark 16:15-16 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Jesus' commandment, the Great Commission, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If we don't go, we send. I don't know if you come from a mission-minded church, but I do. And one of the things that we always hear is that we can either go into all the world and preach the gospel, or if we don't have the ability to go into all the world, of course, we go into our part of the world that we can reach, our job, our friends, our circle of influence. But extended beyond that, if you can't go into all the world, you help send somebody to go into all the world. You help finance someone through finances or through prayer. You support them that way. Now, so we know that the purpose of the church is to pull people from the grips of hell. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And this is the scripture about praying for our leaders in the New Testament. It says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now let me ask, why Christians? Why is this given to Christians? It's simple. Why is this commandment given to Christians? It's because Christians are the only one who can have the responsibility, because they're the only ones that have the ability, who have the authority to have the responsibility. God would be unjust if he went out and told the world, hey, you need to pray for the nation, because the world does not have the power or the authority to pray for the nation. They can go and pray, but it's not going to do much of good. But the Christian has the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to get on their knees, come before God, move into the Spirit, into the throne room of God, and change this nation through prayer, through the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this is given to Christians. Now, we know that we're the ones that have the responsibility, and we know that we're the only ones that can do it. I mean, after all, do you think the world is actually going to get down and pray for the nation? Now, if it gets that bad, of course they are. Of course, they're going to be praying to anything and everything. They'll pray to God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, baby Jesus, whatever it may be. They'll pray if something will get changed. Why are we to pray? What's the purpose of praying for our nation? Now, we can look up back what we were reading. It says, the reason is because we want to live a quiet and peaceable life. And why is that? So we can preach the gospel and take it around the world. Now, when we're living a quiet and peaceable life, that means everything is open. Everything is accommodating. Everything is welcoming. When we're not living a quiet and peaceful life, we're living in times of war. And in times of war, certain areas of the world are closed off. If you're living in war, the places where the war is going on, where the enemy of that nation is, those are closed off. Now, you may be able to sneak into them, but they're not open as well as if it was in a time of peace. At the same time, there is the issue of resources. Now, during, I know many of us today, they weren't alive during World War II, But there was times of rationing. There were certain things that you could not use as a person or as a citizen. I mean, metal was rationed, food was rationed, everything was rationed so that they could send all the good stuff to those that were fighting the war. So we want to pray for a quiet and peaceful life so we can take the gospel to the nations. Now, I know many people have, even Christians, have their own thoughts about the founding of America and how it was founded, the people that founded it. Well, I've actually studied on the founding of the nation. I've studied probably over 100 hours about the founding of the nation. And after 100 hours, more so probably, I've come to the conclusion, and anyone who would, you know, do an honest and open study of it would come to see that the nation of America was founded by godly men for the purpose of freedom to worship God how they saw fit, but also so that they could take the gospel to the world. If you look, you could see all certain, you know, certain aspects and things that our founders did so that the gospel could prosper. But one of the things that God did is that this nation was founded so that it could be a sending out place, so the gospel could go forth from the nation of the United States of America to the rest of the world, so it could be a beacon of hope and light to the rest of the world. And if you look at our history, that's exactly what it's been for so many years. Now, in recent times, we've let slip what we're supposed to do. We haven't been praying for our nation like we should have. And how can, I mean, I say that, and I say that with confidence, and people ask, well, how can you say that? Well, I can say that easily because look what's going on. I mean, look at recent court decisions, look at recent laws, look how the church has been divided into what is sin, what is not sin, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. I mean, it's easy to see that people have not been praying for the nation. People have not been praying for their leaders, not just the political leaders or the leaders in government, but also for leaders in the church, for pastors, the preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, the fivefold ministry gifts. People haven't been praying for them like we should. Now, I'm not saying everyone. People have been praying for them, but as a whole, the church has not been praying for them like we should be. Now, what does God say about our leaders? And you can go through scripture, and I've actually gone through and I've grabbed a few scriptures here that where God talks about the leaders. In Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the river of water, he turneth it whitherso he will." Daniel 2:21 says, "And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." And Psalm 75:7 says, "But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." We can see that through these scriptures, these are the things that God does. He sets up kings. He removes kings. Well, God doesn't, but at the same time, he has given us the authority to come to him in prayer in the name of Jesus and ask him for his will to be taken place. And his will to be taken place is for his plan for this earth to go forth. And in doing so, there's people that are standing in his way that are trying to go after their own will, their own purposes, their own plans, their greedy plans, their sinful ways. And there's also the devil working behind people. There are spirits working behind people, behind parts of our government that are just trying to go forth and have the devil's plan to come to pass. But I want you to know, don't fret. Don't put your head down. Everything's not gone and down the toilet. God's still on the throne. He's still got his plan, and it's still going to come to pass. But we have our part to play as well. We go to in prayer in the name of Jesus, and we see these scriptures, and it gives us encouragement of how we should pray and what we should pray for. We should pray that kings would be removed and kings would be set up. Men and women, leaders would be set up and removed according to his will. Now, I want to bring forward to you something else. It's actually out of the book, The Triumphant Church. And many people know the name of Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. Now, I want to throw this out here. Some people, well, either way, one way or another, you're going to have people that say, yes, yes, that's God right there. And you're going to have other people that say, oh, no, he's a heretic. Well, just listen, let me finish, and then you judge what I'm saying. And you judge it by the Bible, not by your own opinions. In 1979, Jesus Christ appeared to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. Now, the Bible says that in the end times, that men will have visions, men will dream dreams. So, if you think that men don't see visions of Jesus, and people don't have dreams of Jesus, and they're not real, and they're not from heaven, not from God himself, then you don't believe the Bible, first and foremost. If you think God doesn't do supernatural things nowadays, things like visions, revelations, dreams, you're not believing the Bible. But you can read this whole story in the Triumphant Church, and it's listed under the vision of the three frogs. Back in 1979, Jesus Christ appeared to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, and he talked to him about some of the things that were going on in the nation back then. And this is, quote, from Jesus Christ to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin to the church, and it's relevant today. And this is what he said. If the Christians of this nation had done what I told them to do in my word and had prayed for the leaders of their country, they could have kept those evil spirits you saw in 1970 from operating in this nation. None of those upheavals would have occurred in your nation. You would have not had the political, social, and economic disturbances in this nation, and the president never would have made the mistakes he made. In fact, I'm holding the church responsible for the president's mistakes. Now, before I continue, let me ask you. You may not agree that men see visions. That's up to you. You don't want to believe the Bible? That's fine. But let me ask you, what that says right there, is that scriptural? Does that line up with 1 Timothy 2? Yes, of course it does. Christians are the ones that are responsible before God to pray for their leaders. And when we don't pray for our leaders and things happen, it's our fault. It's the church's fault. It's not the people's fault who are in leadership. Yes, they're not going to get away scot-free. Yes, they have a part to play. But the majority of it is laid at the feet of the church, because we are the ones with the authority, with the power to change things. And I continue with what Jesus said. Yes, the church is responsible before God Almighty. I know when you tell that to some Christians, they will laugh. But you wait until they stand before my judgment seat and see if they laugh when they are the ones who will receive the judgment. Again, does this align up with Scripture? And yes, it does. Now let's move along. Can one man change a nation? Yes, it's obvious. One man can change a nation. If one man cannot change a nation, then God is an unjust God for telling us in his word to pray for our leaders if our prayers will not change them. And God is not an unjust God. He is a just God. He is a God of his word. He has magnified his word above his name. If he says that we are to do this or this, and we do that, then it will come to pass. Okay? Let's look at Genesis 16, and this is Abraham speaking. It says, peradventure, this is Genesis 16, 24 through 26. And this is when Abraham is talking to God about the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, Abraham speaking says, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are within? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous shall be as the wicked, that be far from thee? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. We can see in the scripture that Abraham, not God, but Abraham is the one pushing off judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's the one standing in the gap for these cities. Now, you continue reading, you say that Abraham stops, but if you read the whole story, you say that Abraham stops at 10 people. You know, if he would have continued, it's very likely that God would have went down to one. Do you think God would destroy one righteous person? I mean, if you read the scripture, it doesn't appear that. Now, I'm not getting into adding to or taking away or anything like that, but I'm just showing you, though, that one person held the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah in his hand. It wasn't necessarily God. Abraham was pushing back and stopping the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. That's all it took to stop the judgment. Now, it doesn't take great numbers to affect the course of a nation. We can look through scripture and see that. It can only take one. Daniel 10, there's only one man that changed his nation through prayer. If you look at Numbers 14 and Exodus 32, Moses stood in the gap for the children of Israel. And if you look in Psalms 106, verse 23, it talks about the importance that Moses had in standing in the gap for the children of Israel. It says, therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. God is looking for someone to hold off the judgment, to pray for a nation. Now, you may not believe that America is under judgment, and that's not what I'm getting into. I'm getting into one person can pray for a nation and change the course of a nation. Ezekiel 22:30 says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God is looking for someone to stand up, to kneel down, to pray for our nation, that he can intervene and change things. Now, as I was saying, can one person change a nation? Yes, one person can change a nation. But thank God we have more than one person. We have a whole body of Christ throughout this country that if we would just come together and actually just pray and pray and pray until something gets changed, this nation would be changed. There is a reason that abortion is illegal in this nation. It's because Christians have not prayed to change it. There is a reason that homosexual marriage is legal in this nation. It's because Christians have not stood up in prayer to change it. There is a reason that there are several ungodly laws in this nation, that there are ungodly men and women taking advantage of the citizens of this nation, and that Christians are mocked and persecuted in this nation because the church will not take its place and pray for this nation to be changed and turned around. Now, don't think that I'm pointing the finger. I'm as guilty as anyone else. That's what the Lord showed me. That's what he showed me when he put it on my heart to pray for this nation. So don't think I'm picking on you. I'm not picking on you. My God, I'm picking on myself. But I'm trying to encourage you that we have precedence in the Bible, that we are responsible, and we will be held accountable to pray for our nation and pray for the course and the direction that it goes and for our leaders. And we are the only ones that can do it. Now you're asking, exactly how do we pray? Let's go to the New Testament. If you got your Bibles, flip over to Matthew. The solution is prayer. Binding and loosing. Matthew 18:18 through 20. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." If we would bind things, and if we would loose things, if we would come together in agreement, things would be changed, or else the word of God is a lie. Now, I understand there's outside circumstances of things that God may want to do, but at the same time, I am pretty certain that God doesn't want his children mocked and persecuted. Yes, he said those things would come to him. It doesn't mean that he wants them. He doesn't want sin to be legalized in a nation that was founded as a Christian nation. Now, I understand there's this argument that goes around that we're living in the end times. Things are going to come. Bad things are going to happen. Well, I knew a great man of God that says that as long as he was alive, the devil isn't going to be taken over. He's gone now. So now it's up to us to stand up, to use our authority in prayer, and to declare that as long as we are here, the devil's not going to be taking over. I encourage you to pray for our nation. It is our responsibility, and it is up to us, because no one else is going to do it. Yes, we must vote. Yes, be vocal in politics. But be led by the Spirit of God when you are. But if all you are is going to cast a vote, if all you are is going to be vocal in politics, it ain't going to help. This nation is not going to get turned around by voting someone in to office. I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or any other party you want to come up with. The only way this nation is going to change is by prayer. I encourage you, you have to understand that there are demonic forces working against the plans of God. There's a spirit realm. If you look here on the website here, chrisadams.com, you'll see that I have some messages about there is a spiritual realm. There's other great teachings and teachers and preachers and leaders that have more insight and are more spiritual than me, and I can't hold a candle to them. And they know more things. There is a spiritual realm. Many people don't believe that. Many people don't believe, even Christians, that there's a devil. Or that he's a devil, but he's off there on the side somewhere. Or they have some goofy thought about it. No, there is a devil, and he influences people just like God influences people, just like the Holy Spirit influences people. He controls people just like God controls people that will yield to him. But we have authority over those spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to go to prayer. Bind the evil spirits that are operating through the office of the President of the United States of America, through the Supreme Court of the United States of America, through the Congress of the United States of America, through the social and economic realm and spectrum of the United States. Take your authority. Ask God to remove those that are working contrary to his plans and his will. Set people up that will follow his spirit and his plans, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life, that we would be able to freely practice our religion, that we would be able to freely minister and witness to people and tell them about the gospel. I encourage you to pray, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you for your time. And God bless you. And just remember, stay with the Word of God and stay with the Spirit of God, and you'll be doing just fine.